Can you hear me?
Yes.
Are you listening?
Yes.
Let's pray.
Lord Jesus, you are the King.
Amen.
We recognize that you are the King.
Yes.
You are the Lord, you are God, and you are the King.
Yes.
We are disciples of your kingdom.
Yes.
We are not churchgoers. We are not believers. We are disciples of a King. And I pray that you would open our eyes and our ears to understand the nature of this kingdom, that we would be able to stand and grow and mature and bear fruit to bring glory and honor to the King, because you have invited us to participate and grow in and steward aspects of your kingdom. So I pray that you would help us to understand that you translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your beloved Son, that we are no longer living in the world by the flesh. But Lord, you have given us an opportunity to live in the Spirit, Lord, by your Spirit, with your Spirit, and to live in that spiritual realm with one another. Teach us and train us how to be disciples of the kingdom of God. Lord, and I know in order for us to learn these things, we have to be willing to die. One amen, two amen, three amen. A couple of people are saying, oh no, he's not going there now, is he? Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Because if you seek to save your life, you will lose it. But the King, who has the authority to say these things, said, but if you're willing to lose your life for my sake and the sake of the kingdom, then you will find it. You will find a life that you cannot have any other place. You will find a life that is only available to you when you cross over from death to life, because you surrender yourself to be trained as a disciple of the King. So much of what we call Christianity is a lie. It is an aberrancy. It is that which has moved away from the kingdom pattern of God. We've been sold a bill of goods. We believe illusions because we've been told things that make us feel good about yourself. Can I tell you, God wants you to feel good about Him.
Amen.
When you feel good about Him, He'll renew yourself.
That's right.
See, if you want to kiss your flesh, you will die. And if you've come tonight to have your flesh kissed, oy vey, are you in the wrong place. Because God has a place for your flesh. It's called the cross. Hallelujah. We can say the word cross in Messianic congregations because we know what it's really all about. There are less amens, but that's all right. I don't care. I'm not here for your approval. I'm here for His approval. Hallelujah. Because I want His approval, I'm free to love you. Whether you love me back or not, don't matter. I got free. Have you gotten free?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And you know what? Freedom grows. It gets better. As we used to say back in Brooklyn, it gets gooder and gooder. And I'll teach you, I'll learn you how to talk good. Still looking for Lake Wobegon. One day I'll find it. Hallelujah. Where all the children are above average. Now, there's this kingdom. Please hear me say this to you. There's a kingdom reality that the King has invited us into. He indeed paid the price of admission so you could enter into the kingdom. The Jewish Messiah did not come to the earth to start a new Gentile religion called Christianity. what the Jewish Messiah came to do was open the kingdom of God to whosoever will. That's why all y'all can get in. And not me, and not just me and Ed and Alberta and Janet. Because if it was up to us, you know, the price would have been a lot more than what you're getting. This is the, see, these are things you don't get when you just read the New Testament. These are the secret things that we know. When Peter came back in Acts chapter 10, when he went to Cornelius' house and he preached the gospel, the keys of the kingdom, and they were given to him, and the Gentiles were filled with the Holy Spirit. And he went back to Peter. Peter went back to the other apostles. You know, this is not the things that you read in the Bible. You have to go to the Mel Brooks School of Theology to get this kind of stuff. See, he wants that. He said, look, I want some. You have to, these are parts of the Jewish roots that you don't get unless you hang out with people like us. I want to tell you something. We have learned so many of the wrong things about walking with Jesus. Because so much of what we've learned has been about pleasing one another and not pleasing the King. When the Bible says that when your ways please the Lord, God will make even your enemies to be at peace with you. And think through the ramifications of what that means, is that there's this hedge around you because the favor of God is on you. And there are things that I will share with you this evening that will probably upset you. And that's okay, because part of the dynamic of discipleship is the challenge of God in your heart, to, and that when the Holy Spirit challenges you, He will make you uncomfortable. And He'll stir that in you. And you see that in the ministry of Jesus, and as He went around confronting the Pharisees and the Sadducees and whoever, He wasn't confronting them because He was angry with them. He was confronting with them because they were being deceived and they were falling prey to a spirit that was deceiving them. That spirit of religion that is all operating in the world. And so there are little things that I will say to you. Some of you are new to my ministry that come in a particular kind of a way, and maybe it's in a slightly humorous way, because God wants to open you up to new ways of thinking. Hear me say this to you. This is really, really important. God wants to open you up to new ways of thinking about yourself in Him. So many of us live limited lives because we only see ourselves in ourselves. We see ourselves limited by what our past has told us, what the significant voices of our past or even our present have told us we can or cannot do. When you come to the King in the kingdom, He doesn't look at you according to how you see yourself. He comes to you according to how Abba Father sees you. And He begins, listen to me, He begins to deal with you according to the will of God and how Abba sees you, which is one of the reasons why when you come to the Lord Jesus, hell breaks loose. How many of you have known that? That you came to Jesus and your life got turned upside down. You prayed, God, send me ABC, whatever that would mean, and God sends you XYZ. And you say to God, don't you know the alphabet? I ask not for these things, and you've given them to me. Because we tend to pray limited prayers according to our understanding of ourself. And if your image of yourself has been corrupted by sin, your prayers will be corrupted prayers. And God is not going to answer your corrupted prayers when He has incorruptible prayers that He wants to put by the Spirit inside of you. And you end up seeing things coming out of your own mouth and you go, whoa, I didn't pray that prayer. Did you ever pray this prayer? Ready now? This is the secret prayer. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Some of you are looking at me like, wow, that's really good. It is. Somebody famous prayed that prayer. See, we get so used to going through the ritual of these things that we fail to stop and park our hearts there and say, what does that really mean when I pray to the Lord, the King, who has then authority? Do you understand that when the Bible calls him, God calls himself King, it's because he has an authority of a king. That when the king speaks, everything changes. Do you understand this? When Jesus spoke, the demons fled because he had authority over them. And we meet believers everywhere who don't have a clue about their own authority because they're still seeing themselves out of the corrupt image of self. And Jesus wants to impress his image on you. And it's not just his image, but it's his image of you on you. Do you understand that? So that when he sees you, he begins to work in your life according to that image. And he doesn't care if you don't like it. He doesn't care if you get upset. He doesn't care if you're whining in your prayer closet. God, I'm so unhappy. I don't care. No. Rabbi, pray for me because I'm so unhappy. Ed, full of mercy, will pray for you. Me, I'm not so full of mercy. I'll pray a different prayer for you. Listen to me. I'm kidding because he'll pray that prayer. I know this man in the spirit. Listen to me. When we're in the whinging, whining, I'm unhappy mode, God doesn't care. Now, a lot of people get upset with this because you fail to understand that God is not in the business of making your life better. How many of you know that? How many of you have been following Jesus for more than 2 weeks? God, why is this happening? Because I want to kill you. But I thought you loved me. I do. That's exactly why I want to kill you. Because that image you have of yourself is corrupted. That image you have of yourself is infected by the world, the flesh, the devil, negative thinking, wrong thinking. It's a habitation of demons. And I have come to destroy that and replace it with my life in you. Oh, that was a superb place to say amen. And so we wander, so many of us, we wander through our life in God, not our life in the Spirit, our life in God, that is our religious life, because we're still trying to hold on to I and me. Can I tell you a good indicator of how much you're trying to hold on to your I and me is how unhappy you are. How many of you have discovered that God will go out of his way to make you unhappy? He will mess your plans up. And how many of you know that God is good at saying no? God, I want this. No. Well, you don't understand. How many times have you been in prayer meetings when people pray this foolishness? God, you don't understand. Like, how stupid can you be? Pretty stupid. And, well, if God isn't doing that, I don't want your God. I want a God that's going to be an idol. You see, that I can manipulate and I can control. In fact, it's not wrong to say that the essence of religion in the world is idolatry, because what it, all religions in the world, whether you go ancient religions, New Age religions, esoteric religions, occultic, all kinds of things, they all go along, they all have one thread in common, that their people are seeking power over the invisible realm. That by their rituals or their beliefs or their practices, that somehow or another they're able to manipulate the invisible realm. Into this mix comes the Torah and the revelation of the God of Israel that says, I'm a jealous God, you shall have no other gods before me, and you can't manipulate me. So you do what I want, or all bets are off. Follow what I'm saying to you. But we, listen to me, this will set you free on a very profound level. Most of us are living lives out of our own internal image of ourself that has been corrupted by sin. It has been corrupted by the world. It's been corrupted by the flesh. It's been corrupted by the devil. You have all the negative thoughts and feelings that go on inside of you. The I'm nots, the I can'ts, they'll never be, you know. And we've heard all those words and all those voices affirming the negativity. You're not. You can't. You can't preach. You can't pray. You can't prophesy. No, 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 not, not, not. Into this comes the yay and amen. And says, yes, I know who you are, and if you let me train you, if you let me exercise my authority as the king over your life, I'll show you who you really are. Not what you believe about yourself, but what I believe about you. Whoa. Now you're on a whole other realm of prayer. And you begin to allow something to come out of the depths of your being that transcends your intellect. It comes out of your spirit, and you start praying prayers like, thy will be done, thy kingdom come. Yes, Lord, whatever you want. And he begins to do it, and something inside of you rejoices. It's like hell has broken loose. Everything is turned upside down. Life is completely out of control, and you're full of joy. And you're thinking, I must be insane. The devil says, that's right. And then you turn around. Well, it's either insanity or salvation. It's like, oh my God, I'm either insane or I'm really saved. People will come along and say, as they've said to me, Morgan, you're nuts. And I said, if this is insanity, I'll have more. Follow what I'm saying, because what God is in the process of doing is renewing you according to the image of God. Not the image of the world, not the image of your parents, your significant people in your life, or whoever put an image on you that and the enemy conspires to do things in your life according to that image. This is why, how many people do you know, and in your own life, you attract the same things to yourself? How many times do we find people going around and around and around the same mountain, the same problems, the same situations, the same people, because the image that's inside of them continues to attract that, because they continue to believe the same ugly, evil things about themselves. Into this, the king comes, the one with the authority, and says, I want to kill all of that and renew it. So pick up your cross, watch now. If you want to be my disciple, catch this, please. If you want to be my disciple, unless you become his disciple, he cannot teach you. How can he possibly teach you if you refuse to show up in the school of the Spirit? If you're saying, no, I want my flesh, I want my own way, I want my selfish ways, I won't obey you. I won't do what you want. How can he possibly, because he's given you free will, how can he possibly teach you and train you if you refuse to follow? So Jesus then, now, is looking for talmidim. He's looking for students. He's looking for disciples. Somebody that he can teach and train. But he's not interested in teaching and training you according to what you like, according to what you think, because he knows you're mostly deaf, you're mostly blind, and you're mostly dumb. He knows you only see through a glass darkly. And you're telling him what to do. God, I'm mostly blind, but I know better than you. I've got 5 pounds of fat in my skull. I don't even use all of that. And I'm telling you, who knows everything, what to do. How stupid can we be? Pretty stupid, in my estimation. And I'm speaking as a fellow stupid born. Believe me, I'm not telling you anything, you know, that I myself am not going through, and I recognize the realities within myself. Now, maybe I've learned some of these lessons, and I can help you learn them, but how many times have I prayed, oh God, this is a blind, deaf, and dumb one speaking. But this blind, deaf, and dumb one, who only sees in part and knows that you know and that I don't, is showing up for class every morning. So teach me. And if I'm the only kid in class, I don't care. Do you follow what I'm saying to you? that you have to be willing to pay the price of a disciple. Whether anybody else is willing to pay the price or not, salvation is a free gift. Discipleship will cost you everything you have. This is why you will pray, God, give me, give me, give me, and God will say, no, 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 no. And then God begins to take things out of your life. Yes, please. No, not that. Don't say that to Jesus, please. He is the great idol killer. He has never changed. Do you remember what he said to ancient Israel when he told them to take the land? Kill all the idols. Knock down the high places, burn the idols. He's never changed. Why, beloved, listen. He sees you in ways you do not see yourself. He sees you according to the image of God that we lost in the fall. And we are being renewed, Paul tells us, into the image of Him who rose from the dead. So He's working to conform us to His image so that He sees Himself in you. And you become, catch this now, a unique expression of Jesus Himself. And this is what He's working after. Now you can do it the hard way or the easy way, beloved. The easy way is keep saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Or you can do it the hard way and you start arguing with Him. We've been in lots of prayer meetings that were arguments with God. You cannot negotiate with the King. You can just go to the cross and get it over with. Jesus said, you can fall upon the rock, or the rock will fall upon you. Either way, you're dealing with the rock. Okay? And there's no other way in the kingdom of God. You follow what I'm saying to you? There are other ways that lead to death, Proverbs says. There are other ways, other doctrines that are out in the world. You can choose your pets. You can choose the way you want to live. God gives you that freedom. But if you want to be a disciple of the kingdom of God, kingdom of God, we all come in the same way. This, beloved, is how we can help one another. Because if I'm able to help you, it's only because I showed up in class a little earlier than you did. And you're showing up at the same class that I went through, or I'm going through. And now I'm what in the university system they call them teacher's assistants. In the kingdom of God, we are sheepdogs. So I'm helping you. Get in line. No, it's gonna be bad if you don't. Stop nipping at me. I'm trying to save you from a worse bite. Well, I hate you, and I don't want you to be my shepherd. I don't want you to speak into my life. Okay. God is looking. Do you understand the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth? Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like this man that gave a big banquet and invited anybody to come in. Anybody to come into this school of the Spirit and be, listen. Because listen to who's making the offer to you. Consider the King of the kingdom is offering you a full scholarship into His school of the Spirit. Full scholarship paid by His blood. And He will use everything in your life, from the smallest to the biggest, to teach you what He wants you to learn. He will spare no expense to teach you the lesson. Those of you that have been walking with the Lord for any season of time will be able to testify to that truth. Because this has never changed. The word Torah means instruction. He is instructing us in His school of the Spirit.
If you want to be my disciple, I'm telling you who I am. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, catch this now, is utterly unique. There's nobody like him. So he's saying to you, listen, guys, I'm not like you. I don't have the needs you have. I don't have the issues you have. You've never met anybody like me, and I'm willing to teach you to be like me because I have invested my life in your life, and I want to, catch this, I want to give you my kingdom. Imagine, never in the history of the world has there been a human king that wants to give his kingdom away. Human beings operate on the exact opposite mentality. We build empires to protect our own territory, and we use and abuse and manipulate and control whoever we can to keep our own power structure in place. Here comes Yeshua, the King of the kingdom, and says, my kingdom is not like any human kingdom. I'm here to give it away to whoever, whosoever will. And we foolishly waste our time investing in ourselves, in our ego, in our pride, in the me. The wonderfulness. If I don't come to your church, you'll be missing so much. No, I think we won't. Follow what I'm saying? And we live internally in this kind of delusion. Listen, we live on with so many delusions. One of the delusions we live in is that we think we're important. We dress ourselves in certain ways. Bling, bling, bling. Because we're important. No, you're not. There is somebody important. His name is not yours. It is the one name given under heaven where my men must be saved. There is a name up in lights. It's not yours. Listen to what I'm telling you because it will set you free. It might hurt you first, but the cost of discipleship is expensive. We want everybody to make us feel better. Jesus is not in the business as your teacher to make you feel better. He's in the business of transforming you. And in the process, excuse me, of transforming you, testing you to see if he can entrust you with his kingdom. So everything is a lesson in authority, stewardship, and responsibility. Everything. Everything he says to you, will you obey? And let me see, if I can trust you to clean under your bed because I've told you to do it. Now that's not the Lord. Oh God, speak to me. Your closet is a mess. It's not. And you wonder why your life has stopped. Because your closet's a mess. Well, if I can't trust you to clean your closet, how am I in the world? I mean, you think I'm going to trust you with something that's of eternal significance? Oh, God, I'm ready to preach. No, you're not. You can't even keep your closet clean. What does my closet have to do with the kingdom of God and lost souls? Everything. Because if I can't entrust you with a responsibility to do that, how can I send you to the foreign field where there are demons that will eat you alive if you don't know your own authority? If you can't take authority of your own soul to clean your closet, how in the world are you going to take authority over principalities and powers? Oh, that's a good place to say amen. Yeah. Even though you don't want to, I don't care. We are students in a school, and we get tested regularly. And Jesus is good with surprise exams. Remember when you were in the fifth or sixth grade? Remember that terror? I'm speaking out of my own past. The little yellow piece of paper that came out like, oh no. 10 questions, you're in trouble. Surprise quiz. You better have done your homework. How many of you have had that experience with God where He gave you a surprise test? You didn't expect it. Wham! It came out of the blue. Wherever the blue is, stuff comes out of it. Then somebody is saying, oh, I know where the blue is. He took me to Exodus, where the revelation of God to Moses, and there was this sea of blue. This is blue. I said, oh, that's where the blue is. This is the day the Lord has made. Be ready for surprises. Because you asked for it. When did I ask for that? When you prayed the secret prayer. Thy will be done. Silly Jesus, he thinks you mean it. So he begins to do things in your life. Man, I didn't sign up for this. Yes, you did. Except you didn't realize that the day that you accepted the Lord and you were in love with Jesus and said, oh, Lord, I love you. I want to do everything you want me to do, your will. It's like you signed a blank contract. Oh, Jesus, I love you. Yes, I'll sign. The next morning, all kinds of stuff happens. Jesus, why is this happening? Well, you asked for it. When did I ask for that? When you signed the contract. Because, listen now, He wants to teach you and train you as a disciple. This is not about church attendance, beloved. This goes way beyond being in a meeting. It's way beyond having a nice experience with the Holy Spirit and thank God for the anointings that He imparts to us. Thank God for the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, without which we would be done. That's why Jesus said, it is to your advantage as my disciples that I go to be with the Father, because I'm going to send somebody just like me to walk beside you and teach you. So when you're in the school of the Spirit, you have a private tutor. Day and night, at any time, in any place, in the midst of the trial, there's the Holy Spirit to teach you what the Father wants to teach you, not necessarily to make you feel better. See, one of the first lessons, excuse me, that we have to learn as disciples in the kingdom of God, that God is not in the business of making us feel better. In our flesh, in the natural, we're always looking to feel better. We're always looking for somebody to stroke us. Or stroke us. I've been waiting for a moment for this. How many of you know that God has a sense of humor? Make me feel better, Rabbi. How about let's die together? Jesus said, if you want to be my students, you must pick up your cross and deny yourself. This is the very first step. Many, many, many people are in church and they're not disciples because they're still living for me. Tickle my ears. Tell me something to make me feel good about myself. Into this, the King. Do you understand this? It is the King who is preaching this stuff to you. The King says, I don't want to make you feel good about yourself. I want to kill it and raise it from the dead so that you're living in a whole other realm. Whoa. Do you honestly mean to tell me that if I allow you to take me to your cross, I can actually live in a realm called the kingdom of God? Yes. Whoa. Are you willing to go where you've never gone before? Are you willing to be that disciple? This is an absolutely personal choice you make in your own heart and mind. Because He will take you seriously. Read the history of the church, beloved. Is this easy? Absolutely not. This is why many people refuse to be His disciples, because they don't see the value. They just see the cost. And I'm talking to you tonight about the cost and the value, and I'm emphasizing, I believe by the Spirit, that it's the King talking to you. These are his promises, not mine. Yeah, I'm just a teaching assistant. I'm a sheepdog. I was invited to preach in one city. Some pastors got together, invited me to minister, welcomed me to the city. We were praying together before the meeting. And one of them, being kind of sarcastically, I don't know what his problem was, but I don't even go there with that. I mean, I'm done. I'm dead to all that, you know. So he said to me, "Well, brother, you're just a donkey." And then a word of knowledge. Don't you love it when Jesus gives answers? It's like, you know, because he's so much smarter than I am and quicker and more clever. And so this, I don't know what the deal was in this guy's head, why he said that. But he said, you know, that you were just a donkey carrying, you know, and bringing whatever. And I said, yeah, but look who's riding on my back. And it was like he just got cut. Whew. I said, yes, Lord. Did you follow? Listen to me, though. Anything that you're getting tonight by the Spirit, it's because he is speaking to you. He's the one that is making these great promises. He's the one that is saying, I will give you my Spirit in an entirely, uniquely personal way to walk with you through the details of your life. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, will not only be with you, he will be in you. So many of us have not learned how to live by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. We live by our heads. We live in our feelings. We live by what we see and what we hear and how upset we get when somebody doesn't stroke us. Somebody doesn't tell us we're wonderful or beautiful. Because we think we're so important. Listen, you're not important. Now catch this. When you can die to your illusion of self-importance, God can make you enormously significant. Enormously significant. Whereas in your old image of yourself, you couldn't influence half a dozen people. But in the new image, you could influence nations. Nations. Because out of that new identity, revelation can come to you about all kinds of things. And you would tell somebody the revelation you believe the Lord gave you, and if they're not in the Spirit with you, they'll deny it, deny you, reject you, say to you, you're stupid, you're deceived, you're insane. Who do you think you are anyway? And if you're not dead to their voices, you hear what I'm saying? This is how you get set free, because you're dead to those voices. They no longer have a place inside of you, because your spirit bears witness with the Lord and also rejects the lies of the enemy, because the Holy Spirit inside of you is saying, I'm going to send you to the nations. The Holy Spirit inside of you is saying, I'm going to cause you to write books that are going to transform people all over the world. Somebody looks at you in the natural and says, what are you, stupid? Look at you. You can't go anywhere. How many of you know who Hudson Taylor is? Hudson Taylor is a 21-year-old young man in England in the 1800s. Got a vision from heaven to go to China and preach the gospel. And everybody he spoke to told him he was absolutely deceived and out of his mind. But he would not be deterred, because the image of God in him was Hudson, China is your destiny. And he went to China by himself, 21 years old. And you can trace the revival in China today to Hudson Taylor. One young man. Cost him everything. Would he trade it? Not at all. Because, listen, he prayed the prayer. And God, listen to me, please hear me say this to you. God impressed something in his spirit. And I tell you, that same God will impress things in your spirit. Do you know what a signet ring is? Kings in ancient times had signet rings. This was the authority of the king. When he sent a letter, he put some wax on it, and he impressed his seal. And whoever looked at that bowed down because it carried the authority of the king. I tell you, listen to me. If you will let your heart be like wax in the presence of the Lord, your repentance, even if you feel, and I understand the process, even if you feel like your heart has been hardened, because you get hurt, your heart gets hardened. I know the process. I've repented over my own hardened heart many times. Lord, there's a song we used to sing. Don't let my heart get hard. Build your throne in me. And I would repent. Lord, I cannot change myself, but I can offer to you myself as a living sacrifice. Here's my heart. It's getting hard. Because in my flesh, in my natural, I've been hurt. And my heart is getting hard. And I don't want my heart to get hard. So I go, come to you. And I offer. Have you done this? You offer to God the sacrifice of praise. Even the fruit of your lips. Words that you say, giving thanks to his name. Do you feel like it? No. But feelings have nothing to do with this. Do you understand that? Feelings have nothing to do with this. As a disciple of the kingdom of God, you have an authority over your feelings to say, sit down and shut up. Stupid feelings. Oh no, I'm your feelings. I've been with you forever. You're really feeling bad. Don't go to the service. Mean God, not doing what you want him to do. I know, I'll go to that other place. You know, every city has what I call the church of the flesh kissers. Because they know how bad you feel. So we create a theology that's an illusion to make you feel good about yourself. It takes you out of the process of being discipled by the King. Understand that. Have that underlined in your thinking. Who is it you're dealing with? Who is it that's making this offer to you? The King! So we offer to him the sacrifice of our praise. Why do you think it's in the scripture? Because we all go through the same thing. We're all dealing with a hardened heart. Say, God, melt my heart. Make it like wax so you can put your image in me. Watch now. That starts to change you on the inside. All of a sudden, you're seeing, listen to me, this is so freeing. You're seeing yourself like you never saw yourself before. And it doesn't matter what anybody else says to you. Those words no longer fit in to that image. They bounce off. And not only that, you find yourself attracting all new people and repelling all the wrong ones. Because that image that you're living out of attracts a whole genre of people that have the same image and the same desire. And that image automatically rejects other people because their spirit gets around your spirit, sees that image and goes, whoa. I don't want that. See ya. And it's not anything that you do, it's who you are. Do you understand this? This is supernatural, spiritual stuff. When you're in the religion of Christianity and you're just going to church, you're not in any of this because you've not made yourself a disciple of the school of the Spirit. And you're not you, yourself. Do you understand this? You make yourself a disciple. I can't make you a disciple. There's only one person that I can make a disciple, that's me. Can't make my wife be a disciple. I can't make my children. You can't make your parents. You can't make anybody be a disciple. Everybody must choose for themselves. Is he worthy of your life? Is he really the King? Is this Jesus really the King? Really the King? Not something we've heard about all our life because we've gone to church. Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. Because he takes you down to the hard and fast realities of your life here and now, in the pain. In the pain. He takes you into the valley of the shadow of death, and you're in the moment. You're in the pain. And you say, okay, God, you died for me, you rose again. You're offering me a discipleship scholarship. I can't figure this out myself. So, Holy Spirit, you promised to be my tutor. Teach me. Here's my heart. I am not letting. I control my heart. Guard your heart, the Bible says, with all diligence. You guard your own heart. Don't let it get hard. You have to wrestle with your own heart. You have to wrestle with your feelings. Because you've lived in your feelings your whole life. I feel like this, I feel like that, I feel, how do you feel? Everybody's asking, how do you feel? As if like that's important. How many of you know that when most people ask you how you feel, they really don't care? Do you mean it? Because before you can say how you feel, they're telling you their problems. So we're living in our feelings because we think we're so important. I feel terrible. Make me feel better. No. Why not? This is church. We're the synagogue. It's supposed to make me feel better. What kind of a pastor are you? You're not stroking me. You're not telling me I'm wonderful. You're not kissing my flesh. What kind of a church is that? There's no love here. Die. That's it. I'm done. Okay. Goodbye. Look, Jesus has no shortage of sinners to save. And every day he makes more. And he tricks you into being the people that make more. And I'm not going in down that path. So. I'm probably in enough trouble already. See, I need so little encouragement. You know this. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Just in case you thought I forgot that moment. I make myself laugh remembering that moment, I want you to know. Totally private joke, sorry. It was one of those you had to be there moments. So now you're in this individual, private moment with your pain and your feelings. These are sublime, transcendent discipleship moments. You're in the pain, you're in the feelings, your heart is getting hard, and God is watching. What are you going to do now? This is a make or break moment. This is the crossroads moment. What are you going to do? And here is watching what you choose at that moment. You're at the crossroads. You repent. You say to the King, I am incapable of fixing myself. Good start. I need the Holy Spirit. I repent. Lord, here is my hardening heart. I don't want it to be hardened, but I can't stop the process. Because my feelings, up to now, have been the rulership of my life. Feelings have been Lord. Not Jesus. I made my decisions based on my feelings. My wife made me so angry. My husband made me so angry. My mother. Fill in the blanks. I'm not even saying God bless her. A source of sanctification. did not ask for it, believe me. I got it. Why me? Because you prayed the secret prayer. You tricked me. I did. You're in the moment of the pain. You're in those feelings. Your heart is getting hard. But you choose to be a disciple. You guard your heart. You say to your feelings, you controlled me all these years. You intimidated me. You manipulated me. You controlled me. You made me make all kinds of choices because I felt this and I felt that and I felt this. And they did this and it made me feel this and they didn't do it and it made me feel this. And I was stuck in my feelings and so depressed. I'm oppressed. I'm manic depressed. Because you lived up to this moment under those feelings. Now, the king offers you hope as a disciple in the kingdom. The king says, die. Die to those feelings so they can't manipulate you. Die to the needs that you have because you lived out of your needs. I need people to approve of me. I need to control everything around me. I need status. I need prestige. I need people to think I'm important. I need to be on the platform singing to the glory of Jesus. Really, I'm singing to the glory of me. But I'm not really good enough to be in the world. So I'll find a way in the church and be on a platform there. Talk about the American idol. Stuck in the feelings. But you say, this is the moment. This is the moment of the choosing. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose this moment. If Yahweh is God, follow him. Joshua 20:24. You know the verse. You have deemed that he is unworthy, follow the gods of Egypt. But if you deemed that Yahweh, Jesus, Yeshua, is worthy, follow him. As for me and my house, we've already made the choice. We're going to follow him. So you're in the moment. You follow what I'm saying to you. You're in the pain. It's real. You're in those feelings that controlled you. They dominated you. They manipulated you. You made all your decisions based on how you felt. Whether you went into sins of whatever kind or you broke relationships or entered into relationships or made business deals or whatever choice you made because of the feeling, it controlled you, not the king. The king brings you to the moment. He arranges the unique situations and circumstances of your life to bring you to that moment where the pain rises up. You're there. You're at that sublime, transcendent moment. You say to your feelings, no. You controlled me all of my life. That need that you have, whatever it is, the need for acceptance, the need for status, the need for prestige, the need to be on the platform, the need to be seen, the need to be heard, the things that dominated you and manipulated you, they're all right there. You turn, because you're a disciple of the king, you turn to them and say, no, that's not the image that I will allow to rule my life anymore. I tell you, when you are at that place, something inside of you will start to crack open. You will feel this breaking go from the top of your head right through your soul. You will feel like an earthquake inside, and it's not pretty. It does not feel good. The breaking. God, I'm dying. Good. Good. You're not there yet, but you're close. Paul says, I die daily. Because he's saying to that old nature, no. Pick up your cross, the king says. Come on. Now, you're at the moment. The cross is working inside of you. You're breaking. Those things that held you are being broken off of you. You can't move, you can't talk, you can't go forward, you can't go backward, you're stuck. But you're stuck with Him, offering your heart to Him. Here I am. And something, catch this now, breaks inside of you. And something inside of you dies. But you're not dead. It's this thing which controlled you. This image that was ruling you started to crack and started to die. And you're in the moment. It is painful. But you're staying with Him. Why? Because it's the King who is offering you these things. And you go into the tomb with Him, trusting in Him who raises the dead. God, I'm dead. I am so dead. I am so, so dead. Now, I'm going to raise you from the dead. And you pass through that. And you come out on the other side. And you're changed and you're transformed. Because that image that used to own you no longer owns you. And a new image starts to rise up. Being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. An image that looks like Jesus. No longer are you jealous. Things that used to make you jealous, you're looking around. Where's the jealousy? Things that made you afraid, boo! They're not there anymore. Oh my gosh, where's the fear? In 1980, the Lord delivered me from a spirit of fear. I know what I'm talking about. 20-some-odd years later, I have not had a fearful moment. And fear controlled me. I went through this process I'm describing to you. Dead. And when you come through it, it's like, whoa. I'm not jealous. I'm not envious. I'm not fearful. I no longer need people to stroke me. So you walk into the meeting and nobody says hello to you. Nobody smiles at you. And you don't care. Like, wow, I'm free. They didn't smile at me. They didn't say hello to me. They're not asking me to sing a solo. This is wonderful. I don't care anymore. The need is gone. And in its place is a joy and a freedom and a liberty to obey whatever the King wants to do. And then things come out of the blue. And if the Lord is pleased to put you on the platform, you're on the platform without all the other stuff. Follow what I'm saying. You're worshiping God. You're doing. And then things come out of your spirit that never had any opportunity to come out before. Because they were that thing was buried under all of this false image. This is the why God took you to the pain. If you will process it properly. And what I'm trying, by the grace of God tonight, to teach you is how to process that pain. To come to that moment and go through it victoriously, transformed. And I hope that in some way I'm describing it to you in such a way that you know that this isn't easy. But it is so worth it. Because there is nothing like being free. And when Jesus said, when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And there is nothing, beloved, like freedom. There is nothing like that freedom. The needs, the desires, the oppressions, when they're gone, there is nothing like it. That sense of freedom is almost, for me, beyond an ability to describe. It is transcendent. The kind of power that is imparted to you. Personal power. Not to control people, personal power. But power over your own soul is amazing. And here's the thing. It's available to everybody. I'm nobody special. I just went through the process. I kept saying, yes. Just like you can say, yes. Because you recognize it's the King doing this. Lift your hands with me. Father, I thank you for these saints of the Most High God. Disciples in the school of the Spirit. Lord, I don't know a lot of the folks here. You know them. You know their ins and their outs. You know their childhood experiences. You know their parenting, their teachers, their school experiences, their early childhood, adolescent, young adult, marriage, family, parents, business, finances. You know all of the details of every single life. And you call each of us, Lord Jesus, we love you. You call each of us to yourself. You call each of us to be a disciple, a student in your school of the Spirit. Help us to make the right decision at the right moment, to not be intimidated or manipulated or controlled by thoughts or feelings, but to offer you our heart so that our feelings don't control us, but your wonderful Spirit does. You don't take our feelings away. You sanctify them. You make them serve the Holy Spirit. I bless these folks tonight, beloved disciples, Lord, who have come to a meeting like this because their heart is after you. On one level or another, their heart is after you. Great King, revealed. Reveal. Only you can reveal these things to us. Lord, I know this. No matter how articulate I or anyone else might be, unless the Spirit of God reveals these things, we do not get it. We do not get it. Lord, only by your Spirit can you reveal to us that if we seek to save our life, we lose it. If we lose it for your sake, we find it. If we fall upon the rock, we are broken to pieces. If the rock falls on us, we are smashed to smithereens. My Jesus, I thank you for disciples of your kingdom. I thank you for this work by the Spirit, Lord, that you're doing in every life, Lord. Those who are listening to this recording, wherever they are, levels, Lord, levels. Help us, Lord, to take this in the moments where we live today, in the situations we are facing, each of us facing various situations, financial, emotional, family, Lord, the great variety. You've come to set us free. Great King, I thank you for setting us free. I thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation given to us to help us understand these things. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Give him some praise. He is worthy. You did it, Lord. You did it.